This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Kerry Kasem. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Kerry Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all around the world on KABC.com. I am Alan Gervie. I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. And finally, I have my beautiful co-host with me because the last couple of weeks she has not been here. Kerry Kasem, nice to see you back on Gervie's Law.
Nice to be back.
Where have you been?
Oh, traveling, you know, all my...
I don't know. That's why I asked.
Okay, well, New York and Florida and going to Hungary. And then I'm back in New York. So
why are you traveling so much?
This is the time where I get my bill done for the Kasem Cares Foundation, start talking to, legislators, working on human rights, doing my, speaking around the country. So, that's, what I've been doing. And I get really bummed when I have to miss my show.
I'm bummed. And you missed last week. We had a really great show. In fact, first time ever in the last 5 years that I had members of our firm. We had attorneys from our firm on the show.
I saw that.
And it was so cool. And they were talking about what we do, what it's like behind the scenes at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. That was exciting. We had some good stories. And I'm glad that I had a chance to share with some of my lawyer associates at the firm the show, Gervie's Law. We haven't done that often. It's kind of good you weren't here because you would have been bored out of your mind.
What's happening here?
Exactly. What's happening here was it was very technical, very legal, and it's good that you've been traveling. Now, one of the questions that I do want to ask you is, did you lose $15.9 billion this week?
Yeah, no, I'm not. It would have been nice to be able to have that money to lose it, but no, I didn't.
Chris Larson did. Well, you know what? I have to give a disclaimer here, and I've never done this before. First time in 5 years, I'm giving a disclaimer that we aren't live. I have to say it.
I know, because there's no way that it would match up to Saturday. Because markets move.
Well,
things
we don't
move.
Know. We don't know. But no one knows what you're talking about.
Well, you're going to tell them.
I'm going to tell them because on Saturday today, if you're listening to this, my son has an interview for kindergarten. So I have got to be there. He's has an interview. It's a big deal. It's very competitive for kindergarten.
Prestigious school.
And he is, playing with the other kids, and they are assessing his abilities to get into kindergarten. So that's pretty exciting. And also my mom's coming into town she may be in right now as you're hearing this.
I love her.
We're going to the airport to pick her up. So I cannot do a live show.
Well, she's going to come then the next week for a live show?
I hope so. Yes. Okay, well, good. I'm not sure if it's going to be live because I have a convention.
You're not supposed to admit that.
I'm in charge of a convention. I am giving out secrets all over the place here. Apparently, people now know that the Gervie's Law is not always live. I will be in Rancho Mirage speaking on what it takes to be a successful attorney. I'm doing that next week. So we will have another tape show, and hopefully my mom will be on the tape show.
Okay. Good.
We will come down, we'll do it, and I'm not sure what the show's going to be about, but we'll talk to Genevieve and find out. So that's what's going on. The reason why we have to give this disclaimer is if you watch the markets, and I'm not talking about the stock market, that's something we can, lie about and say because it swings, yes, but Bitcoin and altcoins and all of this cryptocurrency, it's crazy how things are moving. Maybe a month ago, Bitcoin, which is the lead one of the cryptocurrency, was up around 19,000 of Bitcoin. And then there's so many others that have risen. And when I talked about the Ripple co-founder, Chris Larson, And I don't know if he gained his $15.9 billion back over the few days since we taped this show. But the day that we were taping, he did. It did take a little bit of a tumble.
Well, how much does he have? Like, what's his, you know?
He's the co-founder.
No, but what's he worth?
I have no idea. He's ahead of Rupert Murdoch on, it's hard to say because a lot of this, wealth is not known. A lot of it obviously is on paper, so to speak, even though it's cryptocurrency. So you don't really know how much have been skimmed off and maybe taken as a little bit of profit and how much is still held. You remember Facebook, Carmen, and Tyler Winklevoss.
Yes,
remember?
Of course.
The social network.
Of course,
and they kind of lost out. Well, they got heavily involved in Bitcoin and they made themselves about $904 million. I don't know. Whatever it is. And I have to tell you, I want to introduce this topic because 2014, when, we had been doing the show for just a short time, I had on this show on Gervie's Law, you were not here, Carrie, you were traveling.
Was I traveling again?
You were traveling, weren't there. I had Steve Beauregard on the show, and Steve Beauregard, was the founder and, I think co-founder of GoCoin, and that was, a company that dealt with Bitcoin. It allowed, the different businesses to use, a means to accept Bitcoin. He got heavily involved in Bitcoin. He told me about it. Bitcoin was down around, I don't know, $100 a Bitcoin at that time. And he said, you need to get into it. And I jokingly said that, oh yeah, it's all in my wallet. Maybe we can play that now. This is from 2014. Steve Beauregard.
I got to tell you, I'm just checking my wallet now, and I have no more money in it. It seems that all my money has been turned into Bitcoin.
Lucky you.
Yeah, lucky me.
Yeah, lucky me. Well, I wasn't so lucky. I was joking when I said that. But Steve Beauregard, who I don't even want to talk about, you know, this guy was on the cutting edge. And he has been a big proponent of Bitcoin ever since. And when it went, you know, it's gone up and down, up and down. And he's been handling it. He was supposed to be on the show today to make a return appearance. And I was going to, like, put my hand over my face and say, Steve, I'm sorry. And he would have said to me, you're sorry. I'm not sorry. No, he would have said, well, you should have done it. I didn't. We're going to talk about the Bitcoin craze. We're going to learn about it. You're looking at me like a deer in headlights.
Because you know what? Bitcoin, when you say Bitcoin to me and to most people, it's like, what? What is that? What is it? I want a really good definition because what I've been reading on the internet, I still don't get it. How is there any value to this like electronic money? I want answers.
All right. Well, let's bring on Cameron Schell now because Cameron Schell, he just came out with Kodak Coin, which is an interesting, proposition with Kodak. And, he has been an entrepreneur, a really incredibly, active tech guy who knows a little bit about Bitcoin. Maybe Cameron can help you, Carrie, because I understand it. I actually have an account at Coinbase, but I don't want to talk about that.
Yes, okay. Well, I want to hear.
But Cameron, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you so much both for having me.
Now, come on, you can give us a little more energy on that. You have been an opening act for Tony Robbins, and you've got the big thinking principles going on. You are co-founder of Slice, and you've co-founded and found a number of different companies. Tell us.
No, the most important part, you missed it. He's super good looking too. I'm like scrolling through your
well, the only reason it's because he's
now I got energy. Here we go.
There we go. And you know, Carrie's not bad looking herself. You know, Cameron, I must say the only reason you're super good looking is from you're from Canada.
That's the only reason.
Yeah, I went to camp at Pine Lake, Alberta. Do you know where Pine Lake is?
Absolutely, I'm from Alberta.
I know you are.
Amazing.
Why do you think I asked you that?
That's great. Good for you.
Tell Carrie about Bitcoin.
So seriously, thank you so much for having me on the show, and I have a face for radio, Carrie. So you're very, very gracious in your comments.
Are your pictures manipulated? Because you're super.
you're the best.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, and I'd love to come back next week too on the show if you'll have me. No, anyway.
For sure. That's what we did with Corey Feldman because we found out that he was cute and we had him come back.
Come on in.
And he came back.
Totally kidding. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
And you dated Corey Feldman.
Hey, stop.
Go ahead.
Much better topic. Much more interesting than Bitcoin.
No, it's very interesting. I do want to know
what this is.
One of my friends, you know, I was talking to him and he said his son is so into it. He's 20, you know, in his mid 23, 24 years old. There are so many young people. Carrie's young too, but there's so many people that are on this craze because they see what could happen, how you can become a billionaire, and again, how you can lose everything.
Sure. Well, so it's a big topic, right? And you know, Bitcoin itself at its core is just a way to store value. And but what's different about, say, being able to store value in Bitcoin as opposed to in just some other form that's electronic is that it's built on top of a technology. This is a broad statement, but it's built on top of a broad technology known as blockchain. And blockchain is nothing less than important, as important as the invention of the printing press. The reason primarily being in a practical sense today is because we can now take a digital asset, which might be a song, it might be a photo, it might be a currency that holds value, and electronically it can't be duplicated. So one of the big challenges with electronic assets in the past is they're very easy to duplicate. So you can't actually have a currency. What you have now with the advent of blockchain is a technology that allows digital assets not to be duplicated, right? And when you think about that, a digital asset doesn't necessarily just have to be, you know, something of value. It can be something quite ethereal, like a decision. So you can have a smart contract. You can have a contract online that can't be duplicated. And what that means is that you don't need somebody else, a human being, to enforce that contract.
And it's
because you can have
that. I was going to say, Cameron, it's interesting because that gets into the government regulation part of it and what separates what we're talking about, cryptocurrency and all of this other technology that you're talking about, is oftentimes we are handcuffed by regulation, by state, federal government. We have to take a break, but later on in the show, we're going to have Jeff Miron on, and he's a Harvard economist, libertarian, by the way, not in favor of the regulation, but we're going to talk about regulation. We're going to bring on Matt Crowley, who is also an attorney who represents a number of Bitcoin companies and the like, and we're going to talk about how regulation may impact the ability to do all of these things that Cameron Schell is talking about. And we'll talk about that after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here. Folks keep asking me how KFC can afford to fit two pieces of Kentucky Fried Chicken, taters and gravy, a biscuit, a medium drink, and a cookie into my KFC $5 fill-ups and still sell them for just $5. Well, I saved a little money by only paying for 25 seconds of this here 30-second commercial. KFC, it's finger-licking good. At participating KFCs for a limited time, prices may vary. Tax extra. Extra charge for breast piece and side item substitution may apply.
I met someone. You hear it a lot from people on Match, because more people have met their someone on Match than any other dating app. Everyone wants to find that meaningful connection. And Match is not only number one in first, but second dates too. Now here's a free offer for our listeners. Go to match.com/mix for 7 days free. That's 7 days completely free to search, view photos, and connect. This free offer is found at match.com/mix. That's match.com/mix. Match.com/mix. I met someone. You hear it a lot from people on Match, because more people have met their someone on Match than any other dating app. Everyone wants to find that meaningful connection. And Match is not only number one in first, but second dates too. Now here's a free offer for our listeners. Go to match.com/mix for 7 days free. That's 7 days completely free to search, view photos, and connect. This free offer is found at match.com/mix. That's match.com/mix. Match.com/mix.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here. Folks keep asking me how KFC can afford to fit two pieces of Kentucky Fried Chicken, taters and gravy, a biscuit, a medium drink, and a cookie into my KFC $5 fill-ups and still sell them for just $5. Well, I saved a little money by only paying for 25 seconds of this here 30-second commercial. KFC, it's finger-licking good. At participating KFCs for a limited time, prices may vary. Tax extra. Extra charge for breast piece and side item substitution may apply.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, we're back. We're talking today about the Bitcoin craze, and we just say it's Bitcoin. There's a lot of other coins, altcoins, other what I would call penny-type coins that people are trying to take a flyer on. So far, not clear what's going to happen. We have with us Cameron Schell, who is the managing director and co-founder of Slice. He's been involved as a serial entrepreneur, involved in a lot of these technical companies and a lot of the entrepreneurial technological advances. Most recently, is it Kodak Coin, Cameron?
Kodak Coin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just put it all together because that's how Canadians speak. Kodak Coin. So that's a practical application. And, you know, I know you were explaining a little bit before the break about what Bitcoin is, but why, and we're assuming this is Kodak Company getting involved in this rage?
And I have to say, it's the only thing that made sense to me, because when you put pictures up and people take them and they use them, the photographers don't make any money. So if there's some kind of electronic currency attached to them, that makes sense to me. Bitcoin does not.
Yeah, super interesting and great point. And it is something that a lot of people, you know, just practically, we all should, you know, be confused by, because it doesn't necessarily make sense. However, if you understand the technology behind Bitcoin and what makes it so valuable, it's the fact, and that is what makes Bitcoin so valuable. Not necessarily that there's an asset backing it or a traditional asset backing it, but there is a community that's backing it, and there are a number of people that will accept it as a currency. And there is liquidity. So in many respects, you can say, hey, there's nothing necessarily, you know, tangibly backing the U.S. dollar anymore since it came off the gold standard.
Sure.
However, there's a government, there's a community, there's an economy, right? There's all these, you know, less tangible things as a tax base that give you trust and faith in order to be able to use it as a currency. So if you were to think about Bitcoin in that same form and function, you know, there's a large community, there's, you know, tens of millions of dollars worth of infrastructure that, you know, that's connected together all over the world. There's, you know, thousands and thousands of merchants that accept it as a currency. There's the underlying technology. People are building applications on it. So there is value there.
You know, Cameron, you can say that as much as you want, but that's not going to hit a chord with most of the population. The fact of the matter is people know about Bitcoin now because of what has occurred over the last year in terms of people becoming millionaires and billionaires, and not a lot of them, and the volatility of the, what we would call an investment in it. You know, people can go on Coinbase or any of the other exchanges and buy this stuff, and it's trading all the time. You're looking, you stay up all night. I talked to my trainer, and he was up all night watching Ethereum and what it was going to be. But, you know, a lot of people aren't thinking about the utility and the usage. And when I did the show on this with Steve Beauregard in 2014, and I'm going to play a couple clips a little bit later about a caller. We had a skeptic call in. I think his name was Paul, and he had some really great questions for Andy Beal, who was also on the show, a lawyer, and Steve Beauregard. And people were real you know, skeptical about the use of it, you know, with criminals and drug trafficking and everything, even though, Cameron, as you point out, I think rightly so, that businesses are really looking into how they can take advantage of it. But the point is that there's so many people that know Bitcoin only because of the ability, or I would say that maybe not ability, but the question about whether you can make a lot of money. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Well, I would certainly say that that's why people are hearing most about it. And you know, I would liken it back to the dot-com days, if you will, where people didn't really understand what the internet was. They didn't understand what e-commerce was. They didn't understand what at the time application service providers were or data centers. It didn't mean anything. All they cared about was that, you know, that these dot-coms were going up. And so I would liken the Bitcoin frenzy and speculation around the same thing that happened with all the dot-com companies back then. People did not really understand it, But yet, what was interesting is that it was speculative and it was high risk, and there were people making a lot of money off of it.
Right.
So if we were to liken that parallel, you know, the .com for all of its naysayers, and even though the .com had its blow up in 2000 or 2001, it's hundreds of times bigger and more influential than any of us could have ever imagined.
But it still could be called.
Could you imagine?
No one could have imagined. It started in 2010, and you know it's less than 1 cent. Then 7 years later, it goes over 19,000 from 1 cent. So yeah, of course, no one could imagine it. But a lot of people still think that maybe it's just a bubble and it's dangerous. I want to bring Matt Crowley in here. Matt Crowley is a venture lawyer. His practice focuses on assisting entrepreneurs creating new businesses, and he's involved in Bitcoin type companies, and there's a payroll service that he's involved with as a lawyer. We had someone who worked with Matt, Andy Beal, on the show 4 years ago, and Andy talked. He was a real impressive guy. He talked about how he had studied Bitcoin, and he was all in, and he was really pro Bitcoin. And of course, look what happened. Matt, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you on. And I mentioned Andy Beal. Where is he these days? He's not with your firm anymore. Is he on some beach counting his Bitcoin?
Yeah, well, I kick myself constantly because when I first hired him out of Loyola Law School, where I teach venture law, I told him I wanted him to get into an industry that he was really excited about. So he picked Bitcoin, and he became such an expert on cryptocurrency that, of all people, Ernst & Young hired him away from me to be a fintech expert. So he put his law degree on the shelf, and now he's in San Francisco working with dozens and dozens of cryptocurrency companies.
So was he successful in convincing you to get into it and start your accounts?
Are you worth billions?
Well, you know, it's funny. I still work with a number of clients that he helped bring on board in addition to some new ones that found us. But we use Steve Beauregard's GoCoin service, and when I had clients that wanted to pay me in Bitcoin, we would take the payment and we'd immediately wheel around, give it to GoCoin,
right,
and they would cash it out and give me dollars. So how dumb was that?
Well, you know, it's funny because I'm Facebook friends with Steve Beauregard, and I messaged him, and you know, I was saying you need to come back on the show, and I said, by the way, you really tried to get me to get into Bitcoin 4 years ago when you were on the show, and of course I didn't. And he said, you know how many people have told me that? Everyone I speak to comes up to me now and says, why didn't I listen to Steve?
It's probably 5 or 6 times an hour. You know, in your defense, you really have to like roller coasters because, you know, Andy and I, when we first started looking at this thing 5, 6 years ago, the coins were around $42 and we thought, I can't figure out what the hell's behind it. It's sort of like a commodity like gold, but there's nothing you can touch. And then you had weird events like, you know, Mt. Gox over in Japan where somebody stole millions and millions of dollars of the stuff. So even though it's a virtual asset and you got this blockchain ledger, you know, it's being stolen left and right. And you still read about theft events that, you know, are just astronomical numbers. But then the thing went to 100, then it went to 400, then it went back to 100, then it went to 1,000. Everyone thought it was nuts when it went to 5. It was at 20, and how do I know? Because I bought back in.
Wait a second, you bought back in at 20,000?
Around 12 today.
You bought back in at 20,000?
No.
Please don't tell me that. Those were the Christmas.
My investment strategy is buy high, sell low.
Yeah.
Thankfully not on this one. But, you know, I certainly didn't buy at $40 like Steve Beauregard probably
did. And I'll tell you, because a lot of people recently for Christmas gave the gift of Bitcoin. And at that time, it was probably around 18,000-19,000. So I'm not sure that was a real gift. But the question that I would ask Steve if he were here, and of course he's at a Bitcoin conference, is on the plane, he was supposed to be with us, I want to ask both Cameron and Matt, just before we take another break, this is the burning question that everyone knows and everyone has a different opinion, and you know, you can read all about it. What do you two think about the future? Because it's pretty expensive right now, and I don't know. Again, I've given the disclaimer. We taped this show a couple days before it's airing because I don't want to make everyone think that we know that, you know, it's trading right now at around Bitcoin anyway, 11,000, and Ethereum is about 1,000, and you know, I don't know, Ripple's in the toilet. But I'll tell you, I don't know what it is today on Saturday. You can all look on look it up. What is happening? Where do you see this going? Everyone wants to hear. First, I'm going to ask Matt, and then I'm going to ask Cameron.
Sure. So, unfortunately, you kind of got to parse out what you mean by cryptocurrencies. And so, Bitcoin, there's no company behind that thing. Somebody with a Japanese name or a group of people hiding behind a Japanese name created the thing and just let the code go out into the wild, and people started doing virtual mining to be able to create the stuff. So there are companies that are offering coins or tokens or other forms of currency that involve having a stake in their company or getting some kind of revenue stream off of that company's activities. That looks an awful lot like securities, like stock, and that's a very different play than betting on something like Bitcoin, which really is like gold.
Attorney to attorney, I'm moving to strike that response as non-responsive in 10 seconds. What's the future? Up or down?
I think the future is up, but it's going to be a bumpy ride.
So you're saying buy? When do you buy? What at what amount? What number?
Oh, I think it's going to be really currency specific. I don't know that I'd be playing in Bitcoin.
Okay, there's a good answer. I know Steve Beauregard would say it's going to go up. Bitcoin's going to go up to 50,000 real quickly.
We're
100, right? In 10 seconds or less, Cameron. I'm just kidding. 30 seconds. Tell us your perspective as Matt just did.
Yeah, I think Bitcoin's got a big future. I'm not a price speculator, and I'm not an owner of Bitcoin. I play the crypto market by creating other currencies like the Kodak coin that we just created, which is a fully regulated currency. My view is that every single person in the world is going to have their own crypto, just like they've got a Facebook account in the next 5 years.
Wow.
So underlying, I think it's up, but I couldn't tell you price, speculation, volatility, all that type of stuff.
Good.
It's a new world. No
question. Good answer. And we're going to talk to Jeff Miron, who's a Harvard economist, a libertarian. He's going to tell us after the break whether or not the regulation and certain things that are going on in China and Korea will in fact affect whether or not Bitcoin and other coins will be of value in the future. You're listening to Gervais Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-471-9807. That's 800-471-9807. 800-471-9807 or go to selectquote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical explosions, exposure, cancers, and death. RGW lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
KABC News Update, I'm Steve Cumming. The White House says President Trump will not negotiate immigration policy with Congress until the government shutdown ends. Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
So here we are, day one, and already funding is in jeopardy for our veterans and our troops. Funding for a six-year children's health insurance bill is sitting here because the Democratic leader filibustered a bipartisan compromise that a majority of senators supported and chose instead to shut down the government.
Democrats are adamant that they will not allow the bill to proceed until it deals with DACA, even though most lawmakers on both sides of the aisle agree on most aspects of the legislation, including an extension of a children's health program. KABC SoCal Weather Watch. Tonight, mostly clear and windy with lows in the lower to mid-40s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with highs in the lower to mid-60s. More news coming up and continuous coverage on KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
Listening to Gervey's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, we're back. I'm Alan Gervey. I'm here with Carrie Kasem, and we've been talking to Cameron Schell and Matt Crowley. Cameron, just one more question before we let you go. And again, we're talking about Bitcoin, and I have to defer because during the break, Carrie Kasem said to me, you know, now she's kind of understanding what's going on with this thing. So she had a question for you because, you know, not only does she think you're really hot,
oh my gosh,
but
okay,
she's
so
impressed with your brain, and I know you have some advice that you could give her.
Listen,
Carrie?
Yes, I do have a question for you. If I could invest in one kind of currency, this you know, electronic crypto.
Yes,
cryptocurrency. Yes. Thank you, Alan.
Don't make it cryptic.
What would you say? Would you say the Kodak coin?
So I'm completely conflicted if I say that because I am a holder and creator of it. So I would, but the reason I would suggest that or any coin whatsoever is because there's a tangible, real business behind it. And there's a photographic community that gets benefit from utilizing this coin. So rather than, and there's an asset behind it too. So there's a very large archive of photographs, the largest entertainment archive in the world, amongst many others that will be announced, that generate income off of protecting those photographs from infringement and collecting those infringements, 100% automated.
And so how much is that, though? People, how much would I have to actually spend to get, you know, to get this Kodak coin?
Yeah, so the Kodak coin ICO starts at $1, and it will start at the end of the month. And you can find out more information at KodakCoin.com.
Awesome.
Isn't it just another one of the many that are out there? Because a lot of people say, why don't you just use PayPal or use Venmo or some other system with the real American money?
Yeah, so if you think about PayPal or Venmo, they're really just an electronic transfer system, you know, expensive nonetheless. And so they're using an electronic system to transfer an electronic representation of a fiat currency. When you have a coin itself, it actually just transfers. It goes from wallet to wallet, peer to peer. So there's a whole lot less friction in this system that happens. But in addition to that, that actual coin has many other attributes. It's just not a dollar that you're receiving. It actually also earns rights to the income that's in the asset. So as that asset pays out a dividend yearly, you're actually paid that asset in the form of that coin. A dollar doesn't do that for you. It may also earn you loyalty points. It may also earn you special privileges for the work or for right. referring people to the business. So
I get loyalty points over at Ralph's when I shop.
Oh my gosh.
And you know, Cameron, it makes a lot of sense. And we wish you good luck with that. It comes out at the end of the month, correct?
Yeah, it comes out at the end of January,
and thanks
for the question. But you know, there's lots of others out there that have, you know, tremendous upside as well. I would just make sure that you look for something that's got an already established, you know, business behind it.
Right.
A lot of the really speculative coins out there today are you know, it's a risk to be investing in them.
Yeah, exactly.
And that too, there is some of that exists for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So you have to be careful. It's not for the faint of heart. I know Steve Beauregard always laughs and says you got to be ready for the roller coaster. Cameron, thanks for staying with us. And
thank you.
And good luck with that. I'm going to turn to Matt now because we're just going to get Jeff Miron on the line, the Harvard economist. We're going to talk about regulation. But before we do, tell us about a couple of the companies that you represent that deal in coins, and what I understand that they have businesses too, so they're not just simply something that may be a little bit esoteric in trying to understand concepts.
So we represent clients in a couple different silos. One, we still represent GoCoin in a slightly different form. We represent a company that's using blockchain for payment transfers to pay employees and independent contractors that are overseas while moving around the foreign exchange requirements. And then I've got one that set up a platform that allows you to do your own mini ICO on their platform. So if you wanted to create your own store for music services or for artwork, other things like that, you could create your own coin using their system, understanding that we're providing the software. You need to figure out the regulatory piece.
Yeah, and speaking of regulatory pieces, that's something that has been a real hot item these days, especially when we look at the pricing. A lot of people are thinking that these cryptocurrencies may be in for a big fall if, in fact, the government steps in, whether it be federal, state, or otherwise. Is that something that you are facing at this time, and are people asking about it? Because I do want to bring Jeff Muir on and ask him about that.
My little firm, we're laser focused on it. And the regulation comes in a couple of flavors of ice cream. So there's the securities laws. There's also, if you view it as a commodity, which is what the IRS came out with a couple of years ago, then now you're talking about the Commodities Futures Group, CFTC. And then there are countries like South Korea that said, thou shalt not trade in any crypto. Japan, China, they're all thinking the same way.
Well, isn't Japan, wait a second.
Just trying to regulate it.
Matt, isn't Japan really on board? I know China and Korea are trying to, well, China's saying no, Korea's regulating, but Japan is really into it.
Japan is really into it, but they have strongly hinted that they're going to come out with their own set of rules. So some of us are biting our fingernails waiting to see what that's going to look like.
You know, I want to bring Jeff Miron on. He is a professor at Harvard University, an economist. He's libertarian, and I know he has a certain viewpoint with respect to government involvement with this. Jeff, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Now, I have to start off, before we start about with the regulation, which is something that I know you know a lot about and have some opinions on, an article came out recently, says economics professor predict Bitcoin will drop in value. You were quoted in that article, and you had some interesting perspectives, not necessarily negative on Bitcoin, but certainly not a big fan of the value going out of control. Why is that?
Yeah, I don't have anything negative to say about Bitcoin at all. I think the government should absolutely leave it alone, that most of the regulations being contemplated are ill-advised, that people should be free to trade it as much or as little as they like. But my hunch, based on observation, is that governments are not going to like it. They find it weird. They find it as something that competes with their own government-issued currencies. They will be nervous. It will make it harder to conduct monetary policy, to conduct various financial market regulation. And so slowly but surely, they will try to drive it out of existence. And so I certainly don't make any short-term predictions about its price, but I think it's that Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies are going to have a hard time over the medium to long term.
You know, Jeff, you weren't on the program before, but I had mentioned that I did a show 4.5 years ago on Bitcoin when no one had really heard of it. And we had a caller call in, and it's funny because I went to the archives. I found the call. I want to play it for you and Matt right now so you can hear someone who was really critical of it. And of course, that was 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago when it was probably trading at about 40, or you could buy it at about $40. And maybe we can play Paul now. This is 4.5 years ago.
We actually have a caller now, and I believe it's Paul in Los Angeles. Paul, welcome to Gervie's Law.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
So we're talking about Bitcoin, and I wanted to know, what is your understanding of Bitcoin?
Well, I've, for some reason, been tied into a number of the key players in Bitcoin because they're my friends, and if there's anything that has been a turnoff about it, it's the culture. Not to mention, you know, the idea of having a currency that's completely unregulated. You know, who's that going to appeal to? I mean, it'll appeal to criminals, you know, terrorists, drug dealers. That sounds like a group of people that would want an unregulated currency. How are you going to really get the legitimate world to the legitimate world of finance, the legitimate world of tech to get behind it? It may not be Bitcoin, but the underlying technology is what's going to come out of this. And that's something that seems a lot more plausible.
You know, I hate to say it, and I don't know where Paul is today, but he was friends with a lot of people who are probably now billionaires. So it's kind of interesting. He had the perspective, and I think, Jeff, you would probably agree with him in certain respects, but he certainly wasn't a great prognosticator on what would happen to Bitcoin. What is your response to what Paul was talking about, Jeff?
Well, I mean, there's an assumption implicit in his comments and many, many people's comments that somehow because something is unregulated, it's bad or it will misbehave or people can't trust it. And I think that's just completely counterfactual. There's plenty of examples. There are plenty of examples of private money going back to the Scottish free banking in the 18th century where privately issued monies were perfectly valuable and successful and stable. So I don't have anything against the idea that a private currency might compete with the government currencies. I'm just saying I think the governments aren't going to like it and are going to try to stop it. Now, I think that Bitcoin's success as a means of payment, as a currency, is a little hard to see the economics of it simply because I don't see that it has huge advantages over using the other existing means of payment. It may gradually develop those. But at the moment, you have to go through various sorts of transaction costs in order to obtain Bitcoin, in order to use it, and not very many people are accepting it. The price is very volatile. Its tax treatment is unclear. Future regulations unclear. So at the moment, it feels to me like it's fighting a big uphill battle.
You know, it's interesting you say that because you're trying to be rational, and it doesn't seem like any of this is rational. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, though, we want to talk a little bit about the future of the cryptocurrencies and find out what your perspective is on what will happen, given your opinion that it doesn't need to be regulated, the government can stay out of it. But that may not be the reality. And if it isn't the reality, what's going to happen to all of these cryptocurrencies if the government is going to, you know, maybe get a little bit of pressure from the stock people and the investors and people who aren't making any money from Bitcoin? Maybe they need to step in. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Geico Show presents eyewitness interviews with inanimate objects.
This is Brian Bruno live on the scene of a recently flooded basement, here to describe the event, a tube sock.
So I'm curled up in a cozy pile of whites when the washing machine suddenly starts shimmying and shaking. Next thing I know, we're standing in 4 inches of water.
Did you help clean up?
Sure, but I'm just one sock.
A tube sock can't help you with a flooded basement, but the Geico Insurance Agency can help you get covered for personal property damage. Call Geico to see how affordable homeowners insurance can be.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Kerry Kasin now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Yeah, we're back and we're talking Bitcoin. I don't know what it is right now, but if you go on your exchange, you can take a look and see if it's jumped up 1,000, down 1,000, and look at all the others. We're talking to Matt Crowley, who is a venture lawyer here in the LA area, and he has been involved with a number of Bitcoin companies representing different aspects of transactions with Bitcoin. And of course, we have Jeff Miron on, who is an American economist. He's at Harvard University, and he holds a position of director of economic policy studies at the Cato Institute, a libertarian who is probably not in favor of a lot of government intervention, but at the same time, probably at Harvard there are some economists who have some different opinions. What are your buddies talking about with respect to the Bitcoin craze, Jeff?
They seem to be pretty universally negative. I've heard many people say it should just be outlawed. And I've tried to engage a few of them and say, why? What's the harm? People want to speculate in pork bellies, be free to speculate in pork bellies, in gold, in stocks, in whatever. You know, it's no secret that it's volatile. Anybody who's involved has, you know, they're spending their own money. Why should we be shutting it down? And I don't think I've gotten a very good answer to that set of questions.
Speaking of shutting it down.
As you suggested, I am certainly in a minority in my opinion.
Yeah, well, I think you would be, but, you know, obviously, there is a lot to what you're saying because a lot of people believe that, believe, you know, stay out of it, let whatever happens, happens. I mean, you're the same person who said, don't rescue the banks. If they screw up, so be it. Then let them go out of business. And a lot of people believe that. Why are we rescuing people? Matt, or businesses, Matt, I want to ask you, you know, with respect to the regulation, as a lawyer, how do you see this impacting what's going to happen with, I dare say, the Bitcoin bubble?
Oh, we're going to get a ton of regulation. It's going to come like an avalanche. Amazingly, the agencies are being very patient, but a lot of us that are in the field can feel them asking questions, probing our clients, trying to understand the technology, trying to understand what the financial models are that we're proposing for these clients. And they're slowly, the SEC, everyone thought they were in a coma. But over the last 6 months, they've come out with a steady stream of pronouncements and comments at conferences that are telling us that they're going to be regulating this and they have opinions.
Now, if I bought one of these cryptocurrencies, and this is a question for both of you, and I buy and then it gets regulated, I'm in big trouble, right? I'm about to lose a lot of money.
No, you are not in trouble.
Okay, can you explain that to me?
Sure. And I'm sure my colleague at Harvard will have a radically different opinion. But from a regulatory standpoint, the regulators would tell you that they're worried about Homer Simpson. Homer Simpson's the kind of guy that would buy stock in a railroad company that doesn't own any trains. And so that happened in the Great Depression. And the government had to pay a ton of money to take care of Homer at the soup kitchen when he was living in a cardboard box because he spent all of his money on the non-existent train company. So the reason that stocks are a little safer is because if you're going to be public and you're going to sell to Homer Simpson and other people on the stock exchange, there are rules and people have to disclose whether or not they have trains. You could buy stock in a company that has no trains if that's what you want to do, but at least they're forced to tell you. So with something like cryptocurrency, if Crowley Corp is going to issue tokens, Crowley coins, and it's related to the activity of my company, then someone at the agencies are going to want to know that Crowley coin, the company, told you what you were getting into before you did it. If you feel bad because you missed out on Bitcoin going from 42 to 20,000 and you want to buy Crowley coin on the theory that it's going to go from 10 cents to a million, you're welcome to do that. But let's make sure that Crowley told you what the deal was before you got in.
Okay, that makes sense. Bitcoin, nobody knows who made it. It's some fake Japanese name or group, like you said. How are they going to ask Bitcoin?
That one, I suspect that they're going to regulate not as a security because they can't. There's no company behind it. But instead, they'll regulate it like a commodity. So the same kind of rules that apply if you wanted to buy gold futures or you wanted to buy oil futures or pork bellies, whatever it is that amuses you, those kind of exchange rules would apply. And you actually saw the Chicago Board of Exchange put in rules on options where you could bet on the future of Bitcoin, whether it was going to go up or down.
Right.
And that actually is part of what deadened the price. The thing was escalating from 10 to 20 grand, and then it peaked out and started wobbling at 15 right after options started getting traded on the exchanges.
So
other events like South Korea are causing lots of volatility.
Right. Well, South Korea, and in effect, you could be almost shorting it and playing it like a gambling game. Jeff, I just want you to respond to Matt because he made some interesting points about the regulations. Obviously not afraid of regulations, thinking that, well, maybe this will make it more legitimate. What is your opinion of what Matt said?
Well, I agree with what he said about the particular kind of regulations he was discussing, which are, roughly speaking, consumer or investor protection regulations, similar to what exists for stocks and bonds already. But I think there's a whole other set of regulations that could be more threatening. In particular, the crucial issue, in my view of the world, is whether cryptocurrencies start being used widely for transactions. If they don't, if they're just an asset that has at any moment some value that might go up or down and some people decide to bet on it in either direction, then there's no fundamental value. There's nothing that ties it to anything.
And you think
that's
going to be doomsday?
Well, not necessarily, but it's very hard to see how it really survives. First of all, there are going to be lots of cryptocurrencies. And so any one is going to face competition from a bunch of them. So that might mean that they all converge on some relatively low value. And so some people who are holding various ones now are going to lose some money. But they pay their money. They took their chances. That's not the end of the world. But more fundamentally, I think that there is an excitement now that's based on the idea that there is going to be some fundamental value, that the cryptocurrencies will be useful for doing something better.
And that's just excitement
we currently have. And that's where I think the regulations.
We only have 2 minutes. I hate to cut you off, but I really need to get this question in because I'm getting texted. Everyone wants to know. Give us the bottom line in 1 minute, each of you. Tell us, great points you make. What should people do? People are listening. The layperson is listening in 1 minute each or a half a minute each. Tell us, should they get into it or should they not? And I know that's a loaded question. Matt first, then Jeff.
I think if you're looking for a hedge on your other investments, so you're into stock, you're into bonds, you want to have something like gold to hedge against, then maybe Bitcoin's worth taking a look at, but you need to have a really good seatbelt because it's going to be a bumpy ride. If you're looking to invest in companies, this is sort of a new version of security, and just make sure that you're very careful at understanding what the company does. That
right. Jeff, 30 seconds.
I think everybody should own a very, very small amount of a diversified basket of all sorts of different cryptocurrencies. No one knows which one is going to do well and which one's going to do badly, but a well-diversified portfolio would have a small amount of a basket of such currencies.
Yeah, I think, Carrie, that's what you said. She wants to take the gamble.
That's exactly what I said. I'm like, I'll throw $100 here, $100 there, $100, just keep going.
You're not even a Harvard economist.
That's exactly what I said. I'm like, I'm just going to put $100 on everything.
Matt Crowley, Jeff Miron, thank you so much. We really appreciate the insight. I think a lot of people listening to this show have something to think about, and we heard it from some experts. Thanks for being on Gervie's Law.
It was great fun. Thank you.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Go out, Coinbase, get your account on Coinbase, and buy some cryptocurrency, and good luck and hope for the best. But don't blame me if it tanks. See you next week.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.